So tonight, the sermon's going to be a bit different than normal, but I do think you will enjoy it. We're going into a few weeks where we're speaking a lot about rewiring, reconnect, and that's when we go to the camp next week, we will be focused on how do we rewire our intimacy with God again. A question we ask ourselves often is, it feels to me like my relationship with God goes like this. I'm like, but I really want more of a steadiness in my life. So how do I get to that place of really getting into a rhythm spiritually where I'm growing constantly? And I don't feel like the one day I'm saved and the one day I'm unsaved, the one day I feel I can really do big stuff for God, and the other day I really feel like a nothing. So that's what rewiring is about. So we're going to start with a camp and we're going to really get into devotional times. How do we do this? And what's God's expectancy? And we're going to have different people in church actually do devotions at the camp with us. Not teach us how to do it, but actually do it. So that we can see how devotions get done. So we're going to rewire our faith in that way. And then we're going to go over to the prayer and so forth and so forth. But tonight, it's almost like in a way, the kickoff of the rewire series. When I was away on missions, I probably read Psalm 84 10 times, different days that I just opened my Bible and I felt, yeah, I just need to read the Psalm again. So if you've got a Bible in the pew, you can grab it and maybe turn to Psalm 84. And it speaks of the courts of God. Now tonight I'm going to be speaking a lot on the courts of God. Well, and I'm going to speak about what does it mean to me. So I'm going to come across tonight as being quite devotional, like you maybe would see at the camp if you're going. But what about the courts of God makes it such a good place to be? We'll read the psalm in 1 second, but how can the psalm write to say, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere? What is the deal about the courts of God? So when I say the courts of God tonight, I definitely don't mean the church only. I definitely include the church. This is the courts of God. But the courts of God for me is a location spiritually where you are with God, where you ought to be. His courts. For example, the courts of God will be a place where you will say, hey, I've got peace with God. I'm in his courts. His courts will be a place, let's say he challenges you in your heart, you read in the scripture, of something that God wants to see in the believer's life. Let's say a fruit of the Spirit. And God speaks to you about a certain situation and you obey and you move. Even that process of obeying God for tonight, it's the courts of God. A place where you ought to be. A place where you can look God in the eye and say, I know I'm where I should be. So is that okay? So when I speak about the courts, please don't see a church only. But this definitely includes the courts of God because the body can't be really taken away. This is part of God's plan. So tonight we are in the courts of God. But when you read your Bible at home and you hear God's voice, you are in his courts also. Amen? So you're with me, just for definition's sake. Let's read together Psalm 84. John, you're English. You can read it for us. You can read it from the screen.
Psalm 84, verse 1. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of heaven's armies. I long, yes, I faint with longing, to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, body and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow builds her nest, and raises her young at a place near your altar. O Lord of heaven's armies, my King and my God. What joy for those who can live in your house, always singing your praises. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessing. They will continue to grow stronger, and each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. O Lord, God of heaven's armies, hear my prayer. Listen, O God of Jacob. O God, Look with favor upon the king, our shield. Show favor to the one you have anointed. A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. O Lord of heaven's armies, what joy for those who trust in you.
You can see he reads the Bible to his wife every night, eh? He's well polished. Hey, Jess, you agree with that? Okay, so what's going to happen tonight? I'm not going to have a number 1, 1.1, 1.2, and you've got everything all figured out. I'm going to speak from the heart, and I know there will be impartation. So I ask myself, what about the courts of God is amazing to me personally? I mean, what makes me want to spend time with God? You know, why not just chuck the whole thing? And there came 1,000 reasons, and I narrowed it down to a few, and the first one was protection. Psalm 84 verse 11 says, For the Lord our God is a sun and a shield. And just immediately it struck me, I don't know how to explain it, but when I'm with God where I ought to be, I feel protected. Amen? I feel safe. I know, I can't explain it. It's not like when, let's say I repent and now I'm right with God, boom, now there's an angel next to me. Well, there is probably, but I can't see. There's nothing physically that I can test or some other Jews I can throw together to show to me that there's protection. But I just know. I know God is my protector. But it's interesting how my confidence in his protection is just so bold when I look him in the eyes. So for me, it's quite simple. Better is one day in his house than 1,000 elsewhere. I love the security he gives me. Isn't that amazing? Look, I come from Africa. There, the people shout, "Amen," and stuff. You don't, but just at least nod so that I can see we are together, okay? Now, firstly, I believe he gives me earthly security in the fact that he protects me. The fact that I don't drop dead right now, that I breathe, that I wake up. God is my protector, and I know it. But more than that, eternally, I know that my spirit is protected by him. So I have boldness towards him. I love his courts because it's a place of protection. Better is one day in his courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Amen? So simple. The next thing that came to me was my calling is in his courts. You know, the Bible says God guides us with his eye. And he longs to lead you to places of green pastures where you ought to be. But that place cannot be separated from his courts. I want to be very straight with you because it's the truth. You and I will never reach our calling if we are not found in the courts of God. You will never ever come to your full potential if you do not walk with God today. Our calling is in his hands. What is our calling? It's his call. He calls and we go. So how can I live out my calling if I'm not within hearing distance of my king? Or if he speaks and I ignore? How can I hear his call if I don't listen to it? I speak about a devotional place where God speaks to me through his word and through his spirit. I hear it and I obey. And I strongly believe that my calling, so let me speak for myself, it's not one big thing one day I will do. Maybe, but it's got this 1,000 parts of obedience that leads up to it. And it started today. And every time I obey, I'm building towards the place where God wants me to be. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you." We know these verses, with this verse, eh? It's amazing. Declares the Lord, plans for wholeness and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. I believe, and this is how, you know how you're most honest with yourself in that place with God. And I just know that if I've got one foot in his courts and the other foot on the outside, at best, in this world, my plans will come to pass. My plans. Maybe I will bring a builder company as good as Apple or Microsoft or Mercedes-Benz, and then I'll get depression and kill myself. That's what happens. Well, after I divorce my wife. You know, my plans suck. I want his plan for my life to come into place. Now, what I also find with myself is I've had this thought many times, and maybe you'll relate with me. My calling is one day, I think often. It's one day. It's okay to be stuck here for a while and not to obey now, because by some or other mysterious way, things will come together and whoop, I will be there. And I will be 80 and I will look back on my life and I will think, whoa, I really gave the devil all his days. Whew, I was amazing. I don't think so. I don't think so. I honestly believe that if I want to reach my calling, I need to be in his courts today. Today. I think big callings or big plans that God have for us, for that you need a big character. Amen? But character for tomorrow gets built today. So I need to be in his courts now and obey now, even if it's the smallest thing that he instructs me to do or not to do. And if I obey, I'm in his courts, I'm enjoying it, and I am growing. I'm on this journey to a place where God wants me to be. And I don't even know all the steps. I don't know where I'm going to be in 5 years' time. I really don't. But I know I'm going to be in his courts. My calling is in his courts. And I think the psalm writer knew that. And he said, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. And as I was just thinking about this, I thought, oh, Lord, just protect me so that this city, that this just environment that I occupy every day, where I work, where I live, help me so that this does not bend me. But help me to bend my circumstances from a place of strength that comes from your courts. Amen? There is one day in his house and 1,000 elsewhere. I'm back at Psalm 84, verse 5. It says, what joy for those whose strengths come from the Lord, who have set their mind on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. This is very interesting. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. Now, in that time, there was a belief, the believers or God's people went to Zion, a physical mountain. They went there. They made a journey there. And so the psalm writer says, blessed are the one who makes this journey. Blessed are the one who set his eyes, the other translation said, on Zion or Jerusalem and goes there. Because to take a journey there, took massive devotion. You had to go through a desert, wilderness. It was dangerous. There was a whole lot of obstacles to get there. But he says, blessed are the ones who set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. But today, we don't go to Jerusalem anymore. We had to explain to that pastor in Tanzania. But we do move every day. Either on a pilgrimage with God or not. So blessed are still today the ones who are on a pilgrimage with God. What does it mean for you? It means whatever God is asking of you, obedience. Obedience to Him, that little thing, that is your journey. That's my journey. That's my pilgrimage. And it is blessed. Amen? Are you with me? Very silent. Okay? But now, there's a reason why obedience is so difficult at times. It's because there's a wilderness to cover. That's the reason. It's tough to sometimes follow God. There's many reasons. I can give 100. Number one is your parents don't understand. Number two is your boyfriend don't understand. Number three is your boss don't understand. Number four, it's comfortable where you're at. Number five, now you can't remember again why you have to do it because you thought so much you've pushed the voice of God away. it's difficult to obey God often. That's why obedience is such a beautiful thing. Amen? That's why the life of the believer is such a beautiful thing, because it shows of a, it shows something. Not many people are willing to say yes to God. Many people love to confess Him with their mouth, but not many are willing to obey. But blessed are those who set their minds on a pilgrimage with God, if I can use that word. It speaks of a position of obedience, a spiritual location, not a physical location. He speaks and I obey. But now, just look at the promises of going on this journey with God, or in the same sense, being in His courts. We're still all together. You know what I'm saying when I'm speaking of His courts. Being where you ought to be. Look at the promises. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. And autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. They will continue to grow stronger, and each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. The promise there is, every single one, each of them that goes on this journey, will make it. Those that set their heart on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, they will come before God. Those today who walk with God on a daily basis, obeying Him, putting your heart out there, you will reach your calling. Because God is faithful. Amen? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I put my heart on this journey with God. I put myself up there the best I can. It will come to pass. And God would write the blank check on that. Because He's faithful. But just look at those promises. Aren't you tired of being at times mediocre? You know? They will continue to grow stronger. I'm so tired of weakness. I'm tired of looking around and seeing people like this. God is so good. God is so good. You know what? It's time you start your pilgrimage. It's time you say, okay, God, I'm going to say yes to my calling. Because most people, they sit in a place where they're mentally so down because they're so scared to take that first step. I'm not talking now about getting saved, because often that is the easy part. Okay? But look at that reward. The promise is you will grow stronger. I will grow stronger when I set my heart on pilgrimage. And look at that promise. That journey, it looks, most of the time when God speaks, the journey to obedience, it looks so bad. It looks lonely. You get out the Excel sheet and you like take stock of everything you've got now. And you're like, oh, that decision is going to cost me this and all this stuff. But look at the promise. The moment you start walking, the valley changes. The valley of weeping becomes a place of refreshment and springs. And I want those promises over my life. You know, all of us make our own decisions, but it's also nice to say, as for me and my house, for me and my wife, and you must make the decision in your own marriage, but as for me and my house, we want to do this. We want to go with God and say yes. And even the moment when you say that, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. You can already feel the Holy Spirit confirming that. Yes, now you're starting off on the right place. Now you're talking. So therefore, better is one day in His courts than 1,000 elsewhere. In His courts, I find the place where I belong. I am where I ought to be. It's almost like I see why God made me the way I am for a time such as these. It's like I'm on the right bus, on the right seat, and man, I can live in His courts. I'd rather be a gatekeeper at the courts of my God than live a luxurious life at the wrong place. Amen? In your courts, there is joy. Verse 12, it says, O Lord of heaven's armies, what joy for those who trust in You. And I thought about it, yeah, I am so full of joy when I'm in the courts of God. And I think I know why. It's the joy of my salvation. It's the joy of knowing that I'm blood washed. I'm cleansed, man. I'm reconciled with God, never to be separated again. And if that does not make you joyous, nothing in this world will. Nothing. I can guarantee you that. There's many things that can make me laugh and have a great time, but joy that comes from the innermost being comes from knowing that my case with God is right. I'm settled. The debt is. And that's finally scored. In that place, there's a peace, eye to eye. God looks at me. I'm not shy to be there. I'm not shy to be in the courts of God. I belong there. And when we prayed beforehand, God showed us a picture of many people coming tonight with heavy weights. And you're carrying weights on your shoulders that ought not to be there. And the Lord wants to take that weight off. Amen? So that you can be light. You can like breathe for a change. Say, oh, life is good. I'm happy to be alive. God has got a great plan for me. Better is one day in His courts than 1,000 elsewhere. You know, because my salvation brings me joy and it's like a rock, it's solid. It's like I'm built on a rock. I'm not standing on flimsy sand. So when someone makes a comment towards me that I don't like, it's not like my whole personality and character and ego and everything crashed to the floor. Because someone said something about me that was not on. I am on a rock. And you are on a rock. The house of your life is built on the foundation of Jesus. Let people say what they want. But those who love you will care for you. And they will also hurt you, by the way. But if you speak to them, they will hug you and kiss you and stuff. Like that. Amen? There's only one thing that overcomes this world like nothing before. And that's the salvation of Christ in you. Everything that normally would take you down, you can overcome by Christ in you. That's why I love His courts. There's joy. It doesn't matter what the devil throws. It's going to turn out for my best at the end. In any case. So gone are the days when my day is determined by some random thing that happens. And now for the whole week, I'm down and I have to phone 10 people to tell them of how down I am. Those days go out the back door when I'm in the courts of God. And I'm speaking about myself. I find myself being so secure in His courts. And I allow Him to define me. I allow Him to tell me who I am. It's what carried me through university. You know, we had a rough ride in university. When I got to my res, there was 3 people that were saved in Ice Marais. When we went out, there was 55. And there's only 120 people. Okay? But it was blood and tears. Because we were persecuted from day one. But it's like I never wavered. I never doubted God. I never said, God is so bad to me because His people again throw eggs on my car, which happened oftentimes. Tires flat. I won't tell you what they did to my friend's shoes. But in any case, I didn't say anything. The fact is we were planted in the courts of God. And He was defining us the whole time. You are a mighty warrior. You are my chosen one. I love you, my son. And then people came and messed with us, and it was okay. We stood, standing to tell the tale. Many of those people have come and said sorry and repented and stuff. Spiritually, I am healthy. When, firstly, I'm with Jesus, and secondly, at a place where I'm obeying Him as my Lord. And that is His courts. And there's joy for me. There is one day in His courts and 1,000 elsewhere. Amen? Then His courts for me is like a castle. Now, it's interesting. Some of these things are overlapping, but it's just all the images that came to me. And I really feel that like when I'm with God, I'm protected in such a way that the enemy uses all these darts and bombs to shoot at me to try and get me down. But it's like it hits this wall of the castle. And I'm on the inside, showing you my tongue and doing a little dance and stuff. And every now and then, it's like I feel something just touch me, a little offense with someone. But immediately, I recognize it because I know what this court is like. I understand how this works because I dwell here. So now, Yaku, my friend here, says something, and my wife's brother. That's why he needs to be my friend. Otherwise, I've got family. Family issues, you know what I'm saying? Any case. So he says something, he doesn't really mean it, and it hurts me, and I want to be offended with him, but immediately I realize, because I'm defined by this court, I know he didn't mean it, and you know what, I take the offense and I break it right there. It doesn't take me a week to come over my offense. It doesn't take me a month, and foundation 3 and 4. And some classes with Yanni, that's very important. But because I dwell in the courts of God, I know who I am. And I know the values of the court. So the dart comes and I break it right there, on the spot. And I go on. And I chat to him and I said, listen, you know what, I think, for a moment I thought you were meaning this. And he's like, no, that's not what I meant. And it's over. It's done. I'm defined by the courts and I dwell in this castle of strength. I want to say this. People who dwell in the courts of God, this was my challenge first, speaks mostly about the goodness of God. How life with God is amazing. How God in me is an overcomer. We must shut the mouths of those people that only speak negative amongst us. I'm not saying there's not a place where we sit and we really brainstorm around something because we need to pray, but we need to, if God is good, then it comes out. What the heart is full, the mouth speaks of. So in the courts of Jesus, in that castle, I'm changed from being someone that only focuses on what is wrong. And I see, because I see my salvation. By the way, I see the end goal. I see I'm saved. I see what Jesus has done, and I just know the space in between is filled with more miracles and God coming through. God is amazing. May my mouth speak well of God and His courts and His people and His house and His leaders. Amen. Better is one day in His courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I just thought, oh Lord, you know, I understand why I read the psalm like 1,000 times. It was just amazing, coming at me every time. What I realized is when I'm with God and I allow His word to wash over me, it's like internally, from the inside, I get established. I get established deep within my spirit with who I am. And the joy in my spirit sits so deep that external factors cannot determine what goes on in my head or my mouth or my life because I'm strong in Christ. And that's why I want to go for that place in His courts and I want to stay there. Amen? And then I go out of the castle or out of His courts and I influence my situation at work. And I go out and I influence my marriage according to the goodness and the abundance and love and peace and gentleness of God. And I determine what happens there. I'm not a victim of circumstance. Circumstance is a victim of me. Because I'm coming from the courts of God and I'm coming at you. Okay? Better is one day in His courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Oh, what God can do with one heart. We're almost done. Are you still with me? Okay, next slide. I am treasured in the courts of God. I want to read you a few scriptures. Just go to the next slide. I'm not even going to read it. Just look at that. You shall be treasured. You shall be my treasured possession. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for His treasured possession. And the Lord has chosen you to be a people for His treasured possession. Same thing, another chapter. The Lord has declared today that you are a people for His treasured possession. You are treasured by God. Did you know that? Just say, I am treasured by God. Tell someone next to you, you are treasured by God. Okay, don't fight over it. God loves you. He looks on you with joy. And when He sees you worshiping Him and finding your strength in Him, He's ecstatic about it. He loves you. He treasures you. I'm trying to think of something I treasure. Now, what does it look like when God treasures something? It must be amazing. But you are treasured by God. Now, why do you worry when pity says you're a numbnut? Okay, pity is not God. God is God. And He treasures you. So get into His courts and feel Him just loving upon you. And forget pity. Because pity is going to say tomorrow again. Pity is not going to disappear because the devil has not disappeared. Hello? He's still here. He's going to come tomorrow at you again. But then you must be ready. Because then you're strong. You come out of the courts. Amen? Better is one day in His courts than 1,000 elsewhere. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords looks at you and He treasures you. Last one. In the courts of God, I find my inheritance. Come on, what is my inheritance? Is it awesome? Thanks. Thanks, Lauren. But now, what is my treasure? What is my treasure? God is my treasure. He is my treasure. I don't have a 20-year plan to get to a place so that I can get a treasure through my pension or something, which of course is huge. Hello, Jackie. I have my treasure. My treasure is Jesus. Imagine this. There's two kinds of lives that gets lived on earth. Number one is people fighting their own life to get their hand on some treasure. Whether it's the new this or the new that, or these days they exchange their wives and it goes like this. Imagine living like that. You're catching up your whole life. Or you can have the same drive in life. Drive, excellence, endurance, persistence, but coming from a place where you have your treasure. How will you live then? How will you go to work if you know you already have your treasure? You possess it because you are possessed by God. You don't have your treasure has you. How's that? Because that's actually the truth. You're not holding Him in your hands. That'll be a troublesome situation. He's holding you. But He's your treasure. And when I'm in His courts, suddenly it doesn't matter where I am because I'm with my treasure. And it doesn't matter so much what I do because I'm with my treasure. But from that place, I can actually live a meaningful life because no longer are my decisions or my life's plans almost vague by all these things that I want to grab along the way to, you know, make life happen for me. Because life already happened for me 10 years ago when I gave my heart to the Lord. Amen? So what do you think about the courts of God? It must be amazing, eh? At least for me. I'm getting more psyched up as we go along. Just listen to this verse. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. All of us that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and is truly saved, which you know, do you know that on earth you get your inheritance when someone else dies, right? But the real inheritance actually happens when you die yourself. I have a great inheritance already. I haven't worked for a long time, I must say that. But I have a beautiful inheritance. It's waiting for me. And I cannot miss it. It cannot escape from me. In His courts is my treasure. God is my treasure. Amen? Doesn't that excite you? Doesn't that want to make you read some Bible? Pray a bit. I hear you, Klingy. Doesn't it want to make you spend time with God and hear if He's maybe got something to say to you in that quiet place where no one disturbs you? Just to listen, what does He have for me? What is He laying on my heart? Maybe I'll pray for my business tonight and maybe God will just give me the name of one person that I could just go tomorrow and just give them a hug and hear if they're okay. Can God and me maybe work together on something here? The courts of God is an amazing place of ultimate fulfillment. And as the band comes up, thank you, you guys. The last slide. Then I can do this from the place of His courts. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of age. If I am established in the courts of God, it is so easy for me to go out and do ministry. Do you know that ministry can be an unforgiving place? I haven't been in the ministry for years and years, so it's not for me to say, but I've heard. Okay? I've heard ministry can be a tough place because people say bad things about you. And you hear it. So it hits you. Or maybe you try your best and you heard that someone said you actually sucked. You hear stuff like that, you get disappointed. Now, you need to be established in the courts of God. Now, my calling is maybe here, but your calling is just as important. The chance is that you are in contact with more unbelievers than what I am. But if you are not solid in who you are, the world around you will determine who you are the whole time. And they will get you down. They will cause you to cry at night because they said stuff about you and your boss fired you. And you know, the devil likes to kick you when you're down. And he will. But the courts of God is where you get established. You look Him in the eye and He tells you who you are. And He gives you hope. He shows you that you already have your treasure. I mean, if God loves you, I don't care about what other people says. That's what God wants to do to each and every one of us. And it's interesting how it all starts, how this cannot be. This cannot be real for any one of us if we don't spend time with God. It comes down to that. It comes down to spending time with God. You can be saved for 10 years in Shofar and have done many things, been an elder. I promise you, let me just use my friend as an example here. Let me use Jaku. If he's saved for 1 year and he spends time with God, he will be more effective than you. I guarantee you. Cashback, guarantee. Give you your money back out of the offering basket. The one who spends time with God, who is in His courts, is the one that will be doing His work. End of story. Because He's the only one that draws courage to do it. The one in God's courts is the only one that doesn't have excuses. Because God covers all and all and all, so He just goes. And that is God's plan for every one of us. And it works different for all of us, okay? We're not the same. please, we're not the same. Some of us, our ministries will look different. People will get saved because you really host well. People will come to God because of the way you take them into your house. You know, you don't even speak to Jesus, but they'll ask, what church are you? And you'll bring them to church, they'll get saved there. Our ministries differ. But that is not the point of the message. The message tonight is the beauty of God's courts. And how that establishes me and you to be in a healthy place. Amen. Can we stand tonight? Hey, tonight is very simple. I don't have a list of things to call people to the front or make a show. It's not a show. It's what happens in front here is between God and people. What I do want to mention over the mic is we did feel there's many people that walks or that's walking around with heavy burdens. But don't go home with that burden. Don't be stupid. That's what Tiens would have said if he was here. Be smart. Come to the front and let someone pray with you and let God take the burden away from you. You know what the devil does? He just loads more stuff on your shoulders the whole time. That's all he does. Here's some more stuff. Here's some more stuff. Here's some more stuff. Worry about this. Worry about that. Worry a bit more. And at the end of the day, you're totally paralyzed. You can't walk. So we want to pray for you if you are heavy burdened and laden. Amen? Then I want to say, if God spoke to you where you're standing, if He spoke to you in the message and you're like, okay, I'm missing that. I'm doing good here, but I'm really missing that. Come to the front and bow your knees. Come into, and I'm calling you to the front because I want that movement, that pilgrimage. Make that movement and come and say, God, in your courts is where I want to be. Amen? But before people come, I want to ask, if you want people to pray with you, I want you to come and sit on this side or stand. And there will be a facility. If you just want to sit, if you just want to say, okay, God, here am I, come on this side. Amen? We're going to sing two songs and let God do a work. It's not about me doing a work here. It's about God doing a work. And you responding. Thank you.